The Haydock Biblical Commentary, composed by English priest George Leo Haydock in 1811, compiled the commentary of the Church Fathers on Scripture in the style of St. Thomas Aquinas' Catena Aurea, or Golden Chain. In this series, we will present each day's daily Mass readings, followed by the commentary in the Haydock Bible. Saturday, November 9th, Feast of the Dedication of the Lateran Basilica in Rome. First reading from Ezekiel, chapter 47, verses 1 and 2, 8 and 9, and 12. The angel brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the southern side of the temple, south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate, and around to the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the southern side. He said to me, "This water flows into the eastern district down upon the Araba and empties into the sea, the salt waters, which it makes fresh. Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live, and there shall be abundant fish, for wherever this water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine." Haydock Commentary. These waters are not to be understood literally, for there were none such that flowed from the temple, but mystically of the baptism of Christ, and of his doctrine and his grace. The trees that grow on the banks are Christian virtues. The fishes are Christians that spiritually live in and by these holy waters. The fishermen are the apostles and apostolic preachers. The fenny places, where there is no health, are such as by being out of the church are separated from these waters of life. It is not probable that real water or fishes were found, but this must be explained of the church and of baptism in a higher and more proper sense. The prophet Joel, before the captivity, and Zechariah, after that event, speak of fountains as still to appear, and of course not in either temple, though Pilate made aqueducts for the purpose, which Tacitus and others mention. But the prophets allude not to them, but to Christ, the fountain of water springing up unto life eternal. See John 4:14 and John 7:38. Regarding verse 8, speaking of the eastern district, some improperly suppose that one rivulet went to the Sea of Galilee, but this passage relates to the Dead Sea alone. No fish can live in it, yet let the place be ever so noxious, this water shall cure it, which must be taken in a mystical sense. Regarding verse 12, speaking of the fruits of the tree, St. John saw such a tree of life in Revelation chapter 22. The doctrine of the gospel and the study of the sacred books have the most salutary effects, while the very leaves, or the example of the saints, heal the soul. No more shall the deceitful fruits near Sodom be seen beautiful, but full of nothing but ashes. Where Christ instructs, a torrent of grace and glory is presently formed. Like the mustard seed growing into a large tree in which the birds rest, its origin is mean, yet its progress is grand and astonishing. The second reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11 and 16 and 17. Brothers and sisters, you are God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a wise master builder I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But each one must be careful how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is there, namely Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy. Haydock Commentary. You are God's building, that is, the edifice, the house, or even the temple of God. We are employed as builders under God. St. Paul says, "I have laid the foundation well as a wise architect, not of himself, but according to the grace of God and the gifts God bestowed upon him," and that other builders must always build upon the same foundation, which is Christ Jesus, his faith and his doctrine. Regarding verse 16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God?" Haydock says, "After the apostle had described the builders who are employed in the spiritual edifice, he then proceeds to speak of the duties of those who are the living temples of Christ. As for you, my brethren, who are the temples of God, preserve yourselves in purity of faith and innocence of morals. Fly from those false apostles who seek your ruin, and remain steadfast in that faith which you have received from us, that is, the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. What a happiness for the faithful minister to assist in erecting and ornamenting the living temples of God! But what punishment must await the unfaithful minister, who by his own neglect and bad example helps to ruin and destroy the temples God himself had entrusted to his care? The Spirit of God dwells in you, having received the grace of God at your conversion. You are the holy temple of God. But if anyone violate or profane the temple of God, either by false doctrine or by any grievous offense, he destroys the spiritual edifice that was built in his soul upon the faith and grace of God. He cannot be said to be built any longer upon the same foundation, and therefore God will destroy such persons. They shall not be saved even by fire or temporal punishments, but shall be excluded forever from heaven and condemned to eternal punishments. The Gospel from John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers, and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves he said, "Take these out of here, and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. Haydock Commentary. Regarding verse 15, "He drove them all out of the temple," etc., according to St. John Chrysostom, this casting out was different from that which is related in Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. Haydock adds, "How would the son of the carpenter, Joseph, whose divinity was yet unknown to the people, succeed in expelling so great a multitude from the temple? There was undoubtedly something divine in his whole conduct and appearance, which deterred all from making resistance." The evangelist seems to insinuate this by putting these words, "the house of my Father," into our Savior's mouth, which was making himself immediately the Son of God. This made Origen consider this miracle in overcoming the unruly dispositions of so many as a superior manifestation of power to what he had shown in changing the nature of water at Cana. Jesus Christ here shows the respect he requires should be shown to the temple of God. And St. Paul, speaking of the profaners of God's church, says, "If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy," 1 Corinthians 3:17, which in a spiritual sense may be understood of the soul of man, which is the living temple of the living God. Regarding verse 20, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, etc., Haydock says, "This many understand of the time the second temple was building, from the edict of Cyrus to the 6th year of Darius. Others of the enlarging and beautifying of the temple, which was begun by Herod the Great, 46 years before the Jews spoke this to our Savior." Interpreters are much embarrassed by these words, as the building of the temple which then existed had been finished in much less than 46 years. Herod renewed the temple from the foundations and spent in that work only 9.5 years. It was begun 46 years before the first Pasch at which our Savior appeared. But this prince, according to Josephus, continued to make new building and embellishments to the very time in which the Jews uttered these words, "It has been 46 years, etc.